Joining us now on the phone lines, Mr. Tom Shepstone of Shepstone Management and Consulting. Of course, Natural Gas Now is his news site, which back in the old days, we used to call it a blog. But I'll tell you what, folks, blogs turn into news sites. And I know a lot of people that like to go to Natural Gas Now to get their fix on the Marcellus and more. And because really, although it's Natural Gas Now, you're kind of focused in the Marcellus, but you do reach outside of that. How are you doing today, sir?
Terrific. And it's great to talk to you as always, Jason.
Yeah, talk to me about the Marcellus a little bit. And also, you know, I get that you reach outside of the Marcellus, but that's pretty much where you focus, isn't it?
Just that I have a few broader issues, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
That take me outside of that. I mean, we just put up a couple of posts this morning that had to do with what's going on in Europe and also China.
All right, there we go. We got that technical difficulty figured out here. So just kind of circling back here, you know, we're talking about some of the LNG prices that have been, you know, is skyrocketing? Is that the word that we're looking at? Because they have been increasing pretty significantly and to the tune to where yesterday I interviewed Dr. Lauren Scott. He's in the midst of doing the economic outlook for the state of Louisiana. He's been doing it for 35 years. And he mentioned the LNG as well, the prices, because that affects Lake Charles. Lake Charles is very much connected with the LNG market, which also is opening up to Mexico, and we can get into that too. But talk to me a little bit about Cabot Oil, right?
Yeah, they're listed as one of the primary sources of this LNG that is going over going overseas and going to Europe, and yeah, you know, there are other companies as well, Range Resources, for example. But I know you've interviewed some of the people from Cabot. And you know, their primary source of natural gas is one county in northeastern Pennsylvania with 40,000 people, and they are, you know, here they are listed in this major article about what's happening in Europe. And the reason it's happening in Europe, of course, is because the Germans, who are always trying to show how much better they are than we are, as is true of most Europeans, but. I'm sorry to insult any European listeners, but anyway, the Germans, you know, went through this energy wind thing where they were going to be the world leader in changing everything, you know, and doing what Joe Biden is now trying to do in this country by penalizing oil and gas and getting rid of coal, which of course they haven't done at all. And replacing it with renewables. And, of course, it's destroyed their electricity market. You know, it's raised prices enormously. And now it's made them captive to the Russians. And, of course, Joe Biden is part of his strategy to kill oil and gas here while allowing it overseas is essentially agreed to drop the sanctions against Russia for the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So, which is going to supply Germany with natural gas. But here's the rub. That is not ready yet, and they've already depleted so many of their storage resources that they are going to be hit with these high LNG prices for some time, and they may never recover the storage that they need. And Russia is saying, now that they've got them in their pocket, they're saying, well, yeah, we could supply some gas to you, but we our own storage is a little low, and we've got to take care of ourselves first. Well, no kidding. So you see what's happening here. Russia's got them in their grasp now, in their claws. The Russian bear has them in their claws, and is saying, "Yeah, no gas for you right now. Later, we'll do it now, but you'll need us for sure. But we'll dole it out to you as we see fit." But that's what that does is open up a market for us through LNG. Interestingly enough, and I'm sure Joe Biden didn't anticipate that, but. Germany and also Japan are paying enormous prices for LNG right now, you know, and they need it. They need it badly.
Two things come to mind. First one is, you know, we promote, obviously, everyday energy for everyday people, that everybody is welcome here. But there's a flip side of that. You know, we are an equal opportunity offender, too. So don't worry about offending anybody on this program, because we're an equal opportunity offender here at The Crude Life. Hey, you got to take with the good with the bad and the, you know, the chocolate with the vanilla.
Right.
So it's the way it goes in life. Hang on here. And then the other thing I wrote down was a 75% increase because, you know, I've been hearing $5 natural gas around North America or around the United States, you know, and for a long time we were at about $3. So, you know, if we're talking $5 natural gas, whether it's there now or we're preparing people or whatever, you know, that's about a 75% increase, 66 to 75% increase from $3 gas, right? Or $3 natural gas. If you want to talk about, you know, increasing 75% in Europe and in China, because I don't know what, I'm not familiar with the China LNG market, but what we used to tell people is that, you know, USA is $3, China is about $8, and Europe was about $15. And so when you're talking about those different economies, boy, if we're going to increase across the globe like what's happened in Europe, we're going to have some people that, you know, upgraded their natural gas furnaces over the last 20 years in some financial concerns. And yeah, I see where this could be, you know, we're on the beginning of something here is what I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And we did see $5 gas here in the Henry Hub. I think it was over $5 earlier this week. Late last week. So we're there, and it's fascinating. You know, it's a law of unintended consequences, and we're also seeing you know, China's taking advantage of, you know, of everything. I mean, I've had an article up this morning about, and I titled it "China is making itself an energy superpower as Biden cowers," and that's, you know, I think Joe Biden is clearly subservient to China, in my view. He certainly doesn't do anything that would convince me otherwise. But put that aside, what he's doing, if he's not cowering to China, he's cowering to the radical left and to the hedge fund community that wants to make trillions off of green eggs and scam. But while we're doing all this stupidity, China is rapidly building all kinds of energy. You know, they're doing coal, they're doing nuclear, they're doing hydroelectric, they're doing natural gas, they're doing the fracking for oil, everything. They're doing it all, every bit of it. And what are we doing? We're saying, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. We've got to focus on this clean energy future, which is nonsense. It's not clean energy. It's green dollars in these hedge funders' pockets. That's what it's all about, you know. So I think of the contrast between what's happening in China, which is clearly our enemy. Not that we can't, you know, have a peaceful relationship with our enemies, but they're clearly our enemy, and they would like to destroy us if they could, and they only accommodate us because it's in their interest from time to time to accommodate us. They want to be the world's superpower. There's just no question about it.
You know, I never really...
We're playing into their hands.
I've never looked at it in that way until you brought it up in those terms, because being a, you know, world superpower means that, you know, in energy, means that your dollar or your currency is the one that's going to drive the ships, going to drive the economy globally. And there's a lot of people that believe that, you know, and whether it's true or not doesn't matter. I mean, because energy makes the world go round. What I'm looking at, though, is this push, that this rapid push to the, you know, green eggs and scam, as you call it, which is, you know, the new Green Deal and the and the renewable solar and wind industry push that's been going on. I hate saying renewable because, you know, nuclear and hydro are considered renewable too, and that never comes up in conversation. So but what I'm seeing from China is, of course, their control over the rare earth minerals that
absolutely that
we need in order for these batteries. That's where you have total control. I mean, if you control the battery, you do have control, don't you?
Well, it's the same situation as Germany has with Russia that we're putting ourselves into. We are putting ourselves into a position of dependency on China because we've said we're going to go solar and wind, and we are making ourselves captive to their interest, while at the same time, they are developing like crazy and ignoring all the political correctness stuff. And, you know, they throw out a few nice words here and there, but they're not paying any real attention to it like we are, you know. And they are booming with energy development. And we are doing everything we can to stop it, despite the fact that we, under 4 years of Trump, we were able to get to be the, you know, the dominant, energy dominant in the world. And clearly Biden wants to destroy that. He has no interest in that.
I don't recall a president in my lifetime doing the things that he's done as far as, you know, asking OPEC to turn up the spigot instead of relying on American workers and then having to go back and say, oh, I guess, you know, that didn't work, so let's try this on the federal. And it's just, it's very different how he's kind of, you know, what's the saying, talking out of both sides of your ass or something like that? But he's doing that with policy. He's just got policy that's just contradicting itself, you know?
Well, you're dealing with a man who has no center, you know. He's always been somewhat corrupt. He's always been a demagogue going way back. He's always been a plagiarizer, you know. He did that in college and early in his career, and so on and so forth. So he's always been a hollow man, and who just does what he's told, basically, or what he thinks he's being told. And so the question is, you know, who's directing him? I think Barack Obama's team is directing him to a large extent, as well as a lot of big money. You know, that the big money has gone to the Democrat Party in recent years, and it's been going steadily there for, you know, probably a couple of decades, two or three decades. And now, I mean, that's where the Wall Street money is. It's with the Democrat Party, and they see a tremendous opportunity, trillions of dollar opportunity, to do the green eggs and scam. So that's who he's paying attention to, and it's a combination of ideologues that come from the Obama perspective and the corporatists who come from the Democrat Party and its financial supporters. You know, that's what's happening here. They're making these decisions, and they don't care what happens to America. They would just as soon replace it with something socialist where they're in charge, you know. So that's just the way it is.
We've got Tom Shipstone on the line with us of Natural Gas Now, and I noticed that Jim Willis of Marcellus Drilling News also contributes to your website. We'll be joining him a little bit later on in this week as well with a Marcellus update. But from your perspective, I know you cover a lot of obviously the natural gas, thus Natural Gas Now. What is happening there in the Marcellus? You know, because obviously, well, a big part of the Eastern Seaboard is powered by that one county.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think what we're seeing is a lot of progress. I mean, the production keeps going up. We're seeing more and more innovation all the time. And like I said about Cabot, they're able to make money at a relatively low price. So now they're very well positioned with the price we're at now. So there's a lot of good stuff going on, but at the same time, there's a lot of threats. You know, we have a governor who's putting us into this regional greenhouse gas initiative unless the Republicans, or unless the legislature overturns it, which they may or may not. And that's going to hurt us tremendously. We see, all kinds of new regulations coming from the Biden administration that they're trying to impose crazy methane regulations, which would be extremely harmful and expensive. We're seeing the efforts to tax the industry much higher than it's ever been taxed before by taking away the depletion allowance, which is nothing more than depreciation, really. I mean, that's what it is. And all these kinds of things. So there's a number of threats there on the horizon. That's not to say there isn't a good future ahead, because I think ultimately, as we see in Germany and other places, natural gas is the only ready and available answer. It's the only dispatchable source of energy that you can grab and turn on and have it immediately and not pay a lot for it. There are other dispatchable sources like nuclear, but nuclear is hard to get done and it's expensive. You know, it's sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, natural gas may be one of the poster childs for just how politics is really preventing progress. I mean, in all honesty, because, you know, we've talked about this before, and I'm looking at the clock, and I know you've got to get running, but, you know, the oil and gas, I'm sorry, the energy industry and humans have been decarbonizing for well over 150 years, long before Greta Thunberg or the Sierra Club came along. And so they're doing is jumping on a movement that was taking care of itself, because when you go from wood and hay through whales and coal and crude oil to natural gas, which is you're down to one, maybe two carbon, you know, molecules, that's pretty damn good. That's really good. And to demonize it to the tune, to lump it into the way they've done it, when the reality is the solar and wind industry has more problems than the natural gas industry. More problems. And that's not even reliability. That's the green problems. that's why we call it green eggs and scam.
No question. But
for the folks out there who, you know, are curious about natural gas, and if you want to know my opinion, I don't think natural gas is going to go anywhere in our lifetime, but it is going to be a political rocky road. But at the end of the day, from what we need it for our lights to our plastics to just our way of life, it can't. I don't even see a 20% reduction in my lifetime. So it's just the shell game that's going to be played in politics, unfortunately, that I see. But
that's a good way to sum it up, I think.
Yeah.
Right there.
So how can people donate to your cause and give you some business? I always like to end an interview with that. At least give someone a fighting chance out there in today's world.
Sure. We have a little we have a little donate button, support what we do, we call it, at the bottom of our every post. And we're always looking for people who will make a tiny contribution to Natural Gas Now. And you just go to naturalgasnow.org. And check out some of our fine posts, which are a mixture of things written by all sorts of people and myself. So we put up a lot of material with generally about 10 or 11 posts a week, a couple a day. And there's always something there to interest people. And we try to take a hard look at things and not cower like Joe Biden. So if you want to do something useful, give us a little support. We appreciate it.
But wait, there's more. Sorry, I had to be a Saul Goodman promoter there for a second, because, folks, you can send a check as well. He's got the address written right there as well.
That's
so
right.
You can send. You don't have to send 99 cents a month like Sally Struthers.
Yeah, right.
You can send a full-on $1,000 check and say, hey, we like what you're doing. Keep up the good work, man.
Hey, listen, we've had a few $500 checks, so and a few. I think we did have a $1,000 one. But anyway, we've had a few $500 ones, and it's very nice when you get those.
But it is true. And folks, listen, if you like what Natural Gas is doing, naturalgasnow.org, donate some money, because not only, you know, is that, but we need this type of journalism out there, because that's what I appreciate, is that you do, you know, it's a little editorializing from time to time, but you do it with a journalistic view, meaning that your editorializing is backed up by facts. And that's a whole, that's like old school journalism. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And people can appreciate that. So, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you coming on. So, if you ever need anything, feel free to lean on the Crude Life. You guys do great work there at Natural Gas Now.
Thank you so much.